This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell with Dan Cahill, State Representative Lynn. And Dan, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Bill, it's a pleasure to have you in our office today. I look forward to a nice conversation.
All right. Well, Dan, first of all, first up for us, how about some reaction to the Lynn school vote? I think that people thought it could go either way, but it went decidedly a no vote on Tuesday.
I'd say that both sides, the yes and no's, were passionate, and I was on the side of the yes. I have two small children, 1, 3, and 5, and my wife's a school teacher as well. So it directly impacts, you know, my family and a lot of the folks, a lot of people my age that have young family members. But I think if you look at the numbers, and it took me all night to digest, that it wasn't, I don't think this was a vote that was, you know, there's a percentage of folks that were opposed to the location and the environmental impact, but if you look at the numbers across the city, this was purely an anti-tax vote. And it was resounding in every precinct and every ward except for one precinct, I think 4-1, on one of the two questions, it won by one vote. But other than that, it was resoundingly rejected citywide. So I would say when you start seeing folks that are not even close to the impacted area and they're voting no, that it's because of the tax implication. So we'll move forward.
I think you're absolutely right about that. And it begs to the question, I mean, what were the, you know, you're obviously a yes kind of person for that kind of ballot question. What, you know, in the what ifs, what else could you have done on that piece? I mean, that's just a major kind of, it's like a flow of water that you're running against a stream.
Yeah, it's tough when you go to the voters for any type of increase. That's why generally if you look like the legislature, if a tax is passed at a legislative level, it's not subjected to a ballot referendum. And because you know that if people are allowed to vote on their own taxes, of course they'd vote for reduced or virtually none. Yeah. And that's why there's a buffer there. But in this circumstance, I mean, it's difficult for a lot of urban cities to start building schools when it has to go to a referendum like this. We had the benefit several years ago now when the Thurgood Marshall School bond authorization was requested. And in Lynn, anything more than $4 million is bonded needs to go to the voters, which is actually a low number compared to other communities. Hasn't been updated since 1978. But in that sense, it was a mayoral primary. People were coming out to vote for the mayor's race anyways. There was not going to be a debt exclusion. It was under our bond cap. So folks didn't see that in their tax bills like they would have for a debt exclusion. Yeah. And I think that is what made people pause. And, you know, people are still trying to find their way in this economy. Talk to folks who are on fixed incomes and people who don't have kids in the system. And they weren't motivated to vote for it.
It does speak, I was thinking today about this, Dan, about the issue that you have since ed reform, net school spending. In other words, all districts need to spend a certain amount per student for teachers, for supplies, for buildings, and so on. But yet it doesn't take into account, you know, the taking a look at that situation again, so to speak, right now, as you talk about, for example, a city like Lynn with a 100-year-old middle school that's out of date, and that in today's world, facilities do matter.
Yeah. Well, of course, and from an economic standpoint, you know, I talked to some residents who live in a 3 or 4 bedroom, right? And they're retired and their kids are out of the school systems and their kids are not even living in Lynn. And they're concerned about living in and staying in their homes. And my reaction to that was, well, if you don't have good schools, you're not going to find a family. It's not like a single person is looking to buy a 4-bedroom house. You're not going to get the families who want to move into Lynn to put their kids in the system because, and I've talked to these, I mean, you end up talking to a lot of parents. First starter home is in Lynn. It's a great place to buy a first starter home. And then they say to me, well, but my, you know, once we have kids and they get to be about, you know, 5th grade, we're going to leave. Yeah. And it's because there's one good viable middle school, and that's Thurgood Marshall, which is a beautiful facility. Breed is just jammed to the gills. And Pickering, the ceilings are literally falling down upon the kids. I mean, it's not a conducive environment for learning. So from an economic standpoint, I think when young people look into community, they look at the schools too. Yeah. I mean, that's just natural. I grew up here, so for me it was natural. But, you know, you talk to folks who want to move to Lynn, and I try to encourage them. And they go online, and they look, and they go, what's the condition of your schools? Your schools aren't, you know, they're not the condition that I want to put my kid in. I can move to Peabody for virtually the same amount of money. Yeah. And they're building schools over there. So they're not they're not wedded or like it's whether it's Lynn or Peabody, it doesn't matter right. to people who are coming into the community. So we're trying to be competitive with our neighbors, and this is something that's not going to make us competitive.
No, you're right. And even I won't go any further on this, but even in the affluent communities, schools are a big part of why they, you know, property taxes and the ability to have value in their homes and the community is the reason to build schools. One of the reasons, obviously, you know, education is the number one reason. Well, let's just talk about what's going on at the State House here mm-hmm. for you, Dan. We're talking with Representative Dan Cahill of Lynn. Tell us what committees you're on right now this year.
Well, I'm very thankful that the Speaker of the House, Robert DeLeo, put me on several great committees. Financial Services, which primarily deals with insurance and banking matters, as well as Telecom, Utilities, and Energy, which is all kinds of energy issues, which I'm very passionate about, and some of the utility telecom that we're facing, challenges we're facing, especially in the western part of the state. We're also on public service, which deals with public pensions and public employees, and a new committee, Export Development, which was driven, from what I've read in a Globe article, from Robert Kraft for some time. And Lori Ehrlich, who is another representative from the city of Lynn, she represents Marblehead, Swampscott, and portions of Lynn, is the new chairwoman on the House side. So I'm very fortunate to be able to serve with her. And she's kind of creating this committee and its direction and its what it's going to be focusing on. And I'm kind of excited to be part of it. It's always fun to be part of a new committee because no one really knows what to expect.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, let's speaking of not knowing what to expect, I think the big buzz around the State House and even the governor's reacted to it publicly is what is the impact of the federal government to state government, and now because of the change obviously in Washington, that there will be some big changes coming from Washington to the State House. And it's one of those things you guys really don't know, but you got to be ready for it, right?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, I think, and if you're whether you're in a state, any municipality, I mean, we're seeing it at the municipal level as well. People are there's concerns about how to negotiate health insurance because we don't know what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. On the state level, we had the benefit, especially in Massachusetts, under the Obama administration, that has flourished, derived untold amounts of funding for our research universities, our biotech industry, our healthcare industry in Massachusetts. I mean, we're an incubator for the entire country. That being said, when you talk about cuts to community block grants, that will be devastating to municipalities. You know, if they're going to block grant Medicaid and Medicare, cut a lot of the programs that and funding for programs that we rely on in Massachusetts, and you heard it from Governor Baker, we're looking at just in healthcare alone maybe $2 billion in cuts and several hundred thousands of people being knocked off of health insurance. I think people have grown accustomed to that here in Massachusetts. So the question is, how do we fill that gap? And you're already seeing tax revenues come in, you know, at benchmark or below benchmark, which isn't very helpful for what we're already trying to provide for Massachusetts now. But we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and we're going to have to figure out a way to ensure that the quality of life in Massachusetts is not diminished under this administration, and that some of the issues that are important to the Commonwealth are just continue to be addressed and funded.
Yeah. Dan, maybe you could share with us some of the particulars about any Lynn development issues. I know as when you were on the City Council, obviously very involved with those issues. As state rep now, obviously very involved with those issues. And didn't know, you know, obviously there's many of them going on, but if there's a highlight or two to share with our listeners about any news around some development issues around the city of Lynn.
It's been incredible. We have buildings that are under rehabilitation now, on tens of millions of dollars in investments, so already being invested in current existing buildings. They've broken ground on a new $23 million building adjacent to North Shore Community College, which is the Lower Washington Street project. We have about three viable projects on the waterfront on the Lynnway that are in the process of moving forward. One is at the state level as far as permitting is concerned. Another has just is under agreement right now that we've seen some preliminary plans. That will be a development that will bring about 250 or 300 additional units. And then there's another parcel in the South Harbor that looks as though that will be about 250 units. We're trying to work with the federal government and Congressman Moulton's office to clear up, and DCR to clear up some easement issues, some wetland issues. But that's viable. And then, of course, across the street with the former gear plant of GE's gear plant, you're going to see 1,200 units. It's almost like a $500 million development investment. So things take time, but we're hopeful to hit this housing market right and not let it miss us.
Lynn Ferry, there's another issue that has been in the news for the last several years. Any news on a possible Lynn Ferry, for whether it be this season, next season, or whatever?
The city and the state delegation met with MBTA, another acronym, about 3 weeks ago, where we were grateful that they did a market study. They have gone out and hired, I believe, a consultant to help work through some really specific data points that we're looking for. The money from the federal government that was identified, that Congressman Moulton helped us with, a $4.5 million, did a purchase, a boat. That keeps us in the conversation. And now we're being told to think about not just a Lynn Ferry, but maybe a ferry we can work through with, the city of Salem or some other kind of port, where they're having a very great success, and they're mostly a tourist. When I'm talking about Salem, they're mostly a tourist, less of a commuter-type service. But if we had a boat that can do the commuter and tourist, maybe there's a way we can share and create more critical points for ferry use in the region and then expand that. So we're hope it sounds better each time we speak with the MBTA. It gets a little better. We have nowhere to go but up, because we don't – we have nothing right now, but we're hopeful to get at least the program up and running again, because it was showing signs of success.
Yeah. Well, Dan, anything else you want to share with us at all that you're dealing with, your office is dealing with, or any other information to share with the constituents?
It's a wild time to be in government. It's a wild time to be in politics, I'll tell you that. I'm dealing with things I never thought I'd be dealing with. I'm dealing with immigration issues in my community. And it's significant immigration issues. I'm dealing with the fallout of people being afraid of losing their health insurance at the federal level. I'm dealing with folks who are trying to just find their way. And it's become an eye opener for someone who's in government, where I'm hopeful that the tides turn, people begin to trust government again. But I feel as though this is kind of a low point for a lot of folks that are trying to do some good stuff, because the politicians have changed. The media has changed. The social media is a game changer, and millennials coming up. It's a very unique and difficult time to navigate.
Because in the past, constituent issues for a state rep, a city councilor, still could really be centering on streets, potholes, trees, sidewalks, tax bills, abatements, those kinds of things, right? I mean, that would be most of it, and not so much the big issues.
Well,
crazy issues.
I mean, a lot for many years, you were helping people find adequate work, helping people with filling out disability applications or handicapped placard applications for RMV, or just fixing small tweaks or issues in government. But now it's become we're dealing with big issues here, and where typically it was dealt solely at the federal level, but now people are turning to states, I think, and saying, help us at the state level. I never thought I'd be dealing with some of these issues. I thought I'd be dealing with the bread and butter Commonwealth issues, but we're really dealing with state and now global matters.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right, Dan, good talking with you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Bill. Look forward to being on your show again.
Good. Dan Cahill, state representative, and from Lynn here on MSO News Sports.